You're listening to the Circle and Rectangle Show, Australia's newest A-League and W-League based footballing podcast, hosted by two blokes with exceptional footballing knowledge, mediocre footballing ability, and zero podcasting experience. Jamie Brown, what have you been up to this week, you traitor?
Bit of work, not a lot, watching a bit of football, trying to keep up with what's going on in world football.
Big things in world football, that's for fucking sure.
Went on another podcast to chat about some things in European football.
Your dog.
That people may have heard of. I mean, we weren't going to do it. I mean, it's not our thing, but they just, you know, they knew I was a big football fan because of this show and our previous show, and they said, you want to come on and discuss it? And I thought, yeah, a chance to vent, and seems that that vent was pointless because everything is back to normal now, so.
Correct. Oh, well. But, yeah, Jamie Brown appearing on this week's episode of the Chat from the Back podcast with Benny and Scotty.
Yep.
So, give it a listen if you boys, if anyone wants to hear Jamie Brown talk about football that isn't A-League related.
Get a little bit angry.
See, how dare you give them Jamie spray? Yeah, outrageous.
We wouldn't have had time to fit it on. That show went for an hour and 26 minutes and it was mostly me. Like,
100%.
So we couldn't have had that. It would have just bored our listeners. But it was fun. It was cool to do. He wants to do it again, sort of in a wrap-up of it's all fixed now. But I don't know if we'll actually do that, just purely because what's left to say? You know, the Big Six in England cowered. And yeah, it's back to normal. Football's back to normal. A fun 48 hours, but we're back. Time to refocus on the A-League more.
Yep, and refocusing on getting rid of the Qatar 2022 World Cup.
Yes.
But other than that, massive week in A-League, some big fixtures, some big score lines.
Oh, yeah. Seventh heaven.
I didn't think it could get worse, but it did. But
yep.
How was your NPL fixtures this weekend, mate?
I didn't get to any games. I was working through the weekend with a shit start time, so I couldn't go. But I watched Sutherland get destroyed by Rochdale at home 4-0. Yep. I watched an amazing game between Northbridge and Manly United, which finished 4-3 with Manly scoring in the 90th minute to win the game. There was another good game, Sydney FC against RPR. Bottom of the table, RPR knocking off Sydney FC. So it was a really good New South Wales week of action. Didn't really keep up with what was going on in Victoria or South Australia, but New South Wales had a pretty good NPL one round. So some definite good games, plenty of goals.
Lots of goals.
Just none for Southo.
Yes, unfortunate. But we move on. The results are in for the A-League fixtures this week.
The results are in.
They are. Kicked off on Friday night with Brisbane Roar down here, away to Western Sydney Wanderers, and it was a 2-1 win to the Brisbane Roar. Brindle South with the early goal before Bruce came out again, getting another goal, equalising, and then Rico Danzaki putting it away for the Brisbane Roar just before halftime. Wanderers just not looking good right now, slipping down that ladder.
The only thing I can say is I don't think I've hated someone and respected them more than I do Jamie Young.
Yeah,
because that man is I was talking to my brother about it at the game, and I said the worst part about it is the three top goalkeepers in my opinion in the A-League, Adam Federici,
yep,
Jamie Young and Mark Birighetti.
Yep.
And totally why agree. Is it that when I speak about them they tend to show up against the Wanderers?
You should take it as a compliment. Maybe they're just knowing that they have to step up against the big clubs.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, that was an unbelievable goalkeeping performance from Jamie Young.
He's phenomenal. Like he's so underrated. Like it's just some of the saves he makes where it just looks like the ball's in and his hand is just there or his leg is just there and it's coming back, bouncing back out. It's just he's phenomenal and he's a big reason why Brisbane are as good as they are. Moving on to the next game, Western United down in Tasmania against the Mariners was a 1-0 win to Western United. Goal scored in the 5th minute by Connor Payne. And nothing much happened for the rest of the game. So another one of those classic Western United games where a goal early and then nothing else. We saw it against the Jets a couple of weeks back.
What was the crowd like in the first Tasmanian game? Did they show up?
It looked okay from the TV. It looked, I mean, good. Like it was probably less than 10,000 by a long way, but still, it looked good on TV.
That's about an average. Attendance A-League. For the A-League this season, so that's
exactly.
Not bad.
We're not getting good big on you, numbers Tasmanian this year. Supporters. But yeah, they did show up. So, and there was a few Mariners fans that went down for the trip too. There was a good little pocket of them.
Yeah, good on
sort
them.
Of top right of the television screen as you looked at it. So credit to them for getting down. Their team's playing good. Why wouldn't you go out and support them? Moving on to probably the biggest game of the round, definitely the biggest score of the round. Melbourne City at home to Melbourne Victory in the Melbourne Derby version 2 this year. It was a close one this time around, but not as close as the last one. It was 7-0 to Melbourne City. Andrew Nabut with an amazing goal to kick it off in the 11th minute before Jamie McLaren rattled off 5 goals unanswered, including 2 penalties, and his 5th goal was pretty good as well. And Adrian Luna really just clinched the win with that goal in the 87th minute to put him to bed 7-0.
A late winner from Luna.
Yeah.
Points there.
It was close up until that point, but 6-0, it's going anyway.
Adama Traore getting sent off as well. That was a shocking challenge.
It was a deserved red. It was a straight red.
And I think what makes it worse is you're the captain of your club. You don't fucking put your hands on the referee.
No. You don't do stupid challenges like that. And then, you don't grab the referee when you're remonstrating that you shouldn't have been red carded for a legitimate red card offence. It is what it is. Melbourne Victory, a lot of fallout came from that. Not good fallout. Nothing's good when you lose 7-0 in the derby and you lost 6-0 in the derby before that. Victory, give me a call.
That's a good aggregate, 13-0 in 2 games.
13-0. In big derbies this year, they have not won one, and I think they've only scored 1 goal against Adelaide.
Possibly.
3-0 against Sydney. I think they lost 3-1 to Adelaide, 6-0 and 7-0 to Melbourne City. So against your biggest rivals, you have done nothing. So, although they were up against Adelaide, 1-0. So,
it's positives. Positives.
Jake Brimmer looking for a way out, I'm guessing. Moving on to the next game, Sydney FC at home to Adelaide United at Leichhardt Oval. Bobo with the first goal and also the second goal before Jordan Elsie got a great striker's finish at the near post from a set piece. And then Tommy Urich with an insane free kick that had referee assistance and all to make it 2-2 in the 79th minute. And then Ryan Grant got sent off in 90+3. That's going to hurt them in the long run. But the way they're talking these days, you need to be... Because, Ryan Grant's a player that could be going away with the Socceroos come finals time. It's probably a good time to blood a player that can replace him in Harry van der Sarg. So it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. They really should have won this. I don't understand how they didn't.
Referee helped.
He did, figuratively and actually.
When I watched that, the first thing I said is, what the fuck is he doing?
He made the run at the perfect time.
He made not only did he make the run, he then did the sidestep dummy.
Yeah.
And Urich buries at bottom corner.
I mean, take nothing away from the finish from Urich, but what are you doing?
I've never seen that before in my life. It's a set piece. They just stand there.
And they usually stand on the opposite side of the box, on the corner. So they can watch everything. He's just made a runaway. Mate, if I'm sitting FC, I'm fuming.
It's the perfect dummy run. People watch and learn. That's how you do it. But
you couldn't have done it better in Sunday league.
You're a referee. Get away from it.
It was just unbelievable. Sydney FC dropping a 2-goal lead when they really should have put the game away. Next game was MacArthur at home to the Newcastle Jets. Roy O'Donovan with a penalty early on. We talked about it before coming on the show. Straight penalty. Great decision from the referee.
Who backed
fuck
himself.
Fuck VAR and fuck the commentators for going against him,
Backed himself in his first A-League game. Called the penalty. Got recommended by Beath to have a gander at it to
fucking
review
Beath.
His decision. And he looks at it and he goes... Well, Yule's made contact with the ball. Milligan's kicked Yule.
Penalty. And, really, just one criticism for him is next time you'd realise that Beath is your VAR and he says, hey, I think you should take a look at it, you've made the right call. You've done the right thing, mate. Charles William Mwambwa got his first goal in the A-League on his starting debut with a great assist from Matty D. And then Loic Puyo put MacArthur ahead 2-1. With another good finish before Stephen Peter Ugarkovic with an amazing strike to make it 2-2 and, give the Jets something positive to go home. A good away win against a really good team. That's back-to-back draws against good teams now. They're starting to get a bit of form.
I was going to say, they didn't win, but a draw away for Newcastle, it's a win for them.
It's huge. Just back-to-back draws. Back-to-back not losses is good for Newcastle.
Points.
So, points. Especially when Melbourne Victory was coming into form with that draw against the Mariners. Clearly out of form now. That battle for the relegation. That's right, we don't have relegation.
Wooden spoon.
That battle for the wooden spoon is going to be pretty hot come the end of the year, although I don't think Steve Keane's going to do anything to Victory to make him play any better because he is a garbage manager. Moving on to the last game of the round, which was amazing that it finished on the Sunday night, the first time in God knows how long. Perth Glory at home to Wellington Phoenix. Wellington 3, Perth 1. Everyone expected Wellington to just be terrible, but you know, with the situation that they're in, they're playing great football. They have some really good players and they're getting good results against teams that people expect to be beating them. 3-1 against Perth is amazing. Credit Joel Chianese. He got his second goal in two games after returning to the A-League, so he's clearly got it. But Ben Wayne with a bit of genius after Liam Reddy lost his head. And Louis Fentum and Josh Satorio really put it to bed for the Wellington Phoenix. The red jersey, I think it's 3-1 now, wearing that red jersey. So I can't wait for mine to come.
Big win in the distance derby for Wellington.
Yeah, which helps them in the ladder. I think they're actually really pushing close to it. They're a chance at finals now. So
big possibilities, because very big possibilities.
Yeah, so credit to them. And Perth, I mean, we talked about it when they were miles behind in games in hand, that you'd expect them to win those games and be challenging for finals. They have slipped up a fair bit and, you know, are now looking at it from a fair way back.
Yeah, not looking good for the Perth Glory team this year. It wasn't even a very disappointing season for the women's as well, so it's kind of just a write-off season for Perth Glory Football Club as an association, and we should probably start building for next season, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a chance of making finals, but, you know, as games go on, if they don't start getting wins, you're definitely like, okay, well, now let's start to look towards next season. It's just one of those really shitty years, you know. I mean, you look at the ladder, Wanderers have played 18 games. The two teams immediately behind them have only played 15. So, yeah, it's a weird one. It's good to see at the top of the table, it's starting to all come back. You know, you got City on 16 games, Mariners, Adelaide, Sydney all on 17, and MacArthur, and Wanderers on 18. So it's all sort of coming back even. We're starting to see the table take shape. But, you know, that battle for those final playoff spots with you and the Wanderers and MacArthur, both on played 18 games. And then Brisbane Roar, Western United played 15. Wellington Phoenix with a game in hand. You know, it's going to be an entertaining finish to the season. It's going to be a good run in. Finally.
Well, I guess Jamie's just fucking jumped the gun, so we're not going to do a gorilla ladder update.
Well, I haven't said the points. We don't know how close it is at the top of the ladder.
You're a clown.
I didn't even look at the points. I just looked at games.
You are a dead set clown. So we will do a gorilla ladder update.
We will.
Gorilla ladders.
Because Jamie's an idiot.
I didn't say how many points. You know, just pretty close.
Yeah, but you've just also pretty much given out who's in what position. But we'll go from the top. Melbourne City, the team in form, 7 goals scored this weekend.
Yep.
On 31 points with 16 games played. Followed by the Central Coast Mariners in second on 30 points with 17 games played. Adelaide United also on 30 points, also 17 games played. Mariners only ahead on goal difference.
Yep.
Of plus 7. Sydney FC in 4th place on 27 points, 17 games played. MacArthur FC in 5th place, also on 27 points, but have played 18 games.
Yeah, a terrible goal difference.
Goal difference, minus 3. Oh my goodness. Western Sydney Wanderers sitting in 6th place, the bottom of the playoff spots, on 25 points, but also playing 18 games. Brisbane Roar sitting just behind them on 23 points, playing 15 games. Also on 23 points, also playing 15 games, is Western United. Followed by the Wellington Phoenix on 21 points, 17 games played. Perth Glory, 18 points, 16 games played. The Newcastle Jets, 13 points, 18 games played. And rooted to the bottom of the ladder on 11 points with 2 games in hand on 16 games, is Melbourne Victory.
But if you're Melbourne Victory, you're 2 games in hand. So if,
correct,
by some miracle, Steve Keane can do what he hasn't done at any other club he's managed and get some wins going, you'll be off that bottom of the ladder. But, you know, it's good to see Wellington Phoenix are slowly climbing, not too far away. If they win that game in hand, they're knocking on the door of 6th spot. Or,
well, yeah, if they win that game in hand, they will be 1 point behind the current 6th place.
And you just got to hope that Brisbane Roar and Wanderers can have a terrible run. But it's... We saw it in the W League season. This is one hell of a season. It's going to be close. It's going to come down to the last game of the season, I think, to decide who's in the finals. Hell, who might even go on top. City looking pretty good at the moment, but we have seen them during the season sort of have a bit of a blip and slip up to teams they probably shouldn't. They have lost to the Mariners and drawn... I can't remember who they drew against, I think, about 3 weeks ago, but it was a game they probably should have won and they slipped up. So, you know, it's all to play for. Top of the ladder... While Melbourne City do look the best team in the league at the moment with their plus 20 goal difference, keep in mind 13 of those goals came against Melbourne Victory. So you take those massive wins away and they're just at the same level of the Mariners.
Correct.
And everyone else has to play Melbourne Victory again. So there's a chance for big scores there. So we have a big blue derby coming up in this weekend, this week's action. So chance for Sydney FC to absolutely destroy them in Sydney. But, you know, it's everything to play for. The only thing that's guaranteed is the Jets and a victory will not be playing in the finals.
That's a guarantee.
I'm going out on a limb. Hot take, but I'm saying it.
That's your bet of the week?
That's my bet of the week. Do not bet on the victory or Newcastle to play finals this year.
Like, could you imagine? Could you imagine?
If the victory...
victory just win the next... they've got seven games left. They win the next seven games and everyone in the top six just falters.
I mean, yeah, they're on 11 points now. To get into the finals at this point is 25 points. So they're 14 down. Seven games, 3 points a game. They win all, that's 21. There's a chance. There's the slightest of chances.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
But I'm going to go on the record now and say that both them and the Jets will not be playing finals football. They just don't have it.
I'm going to back you on that.
I'm very confident. Nothing against Melbourne victory, but you can't lose 6-7-0 to your biggest rivals in a season and expect to play finals football. That should just rule you out. That should be a rule in the bylaws. If you lose in a derby, you're greater than 5 points, 5 goals, 2 games in the season, you can't play finals football. You're not a finals football team. But yeah, that's the Gorilla Live Ladder update.
Good thing Jamie Brown doesn't make the rules.
I tell you what, Melbourne Victory would be playing a lot less finals than they have already. So
Melbourne Victory wouldn't be playing in the A-League.
Playing in the A-League. You know, City and Sydney need teams to beat up on. But, you know, it's... Look, let's face it, 90% of the league doesn't like Melbourne Victory.
You're an idiot.
They have cool jerseys. They've had good players, except Robbie Cruz. But, you know, they're just Melbourne. They're just Melbourne. So... That's what it is. I think we should move on to goal of the week.
I think we should.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Some real good contenders this week.
Very good contenders of goal of the week.
I guess I'll do the honourable mentions. You can announce goal of the week.
Because I know who that is.
You were the one who sent it to me. So honourable mentions go out to Ben Wayne from the Phoenix for his long-range empty goal effort against the Perth Glory on Sunday night. Stephen Ugarkovic for his one-time shot to get the draw against MacArthur.
Postage stamp.
Beautiful. The first good thing he's done for Newcastle all season. And Tommy Urich's referee assist free kick. You can't. I mean, it had everything. Long range, free kick, referee assistance. You just can't ignore it.
It had absolutely everything you want to see in a football match.
Yeah. And, you know, ties the game. So, you know, it was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But over to you for the goal of the week.
This week's goal of the week, and a very big contender for goal of the season.
Yep.
Outside of the boot, outside of the 18, in line with the 6-yard box, even admitted it was meant to be a cross, but this week's goal of the week goes to Melbourne City's Andrew Naboo.
And if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favour and check it out, because it is... I know he said it was meant to be a cross, it looks like a shot.
It's a cross.
I know his eyes look across like he's crossing it, but it was as perfect as it could be. Like, nothing Matty Acton could do in that victory goal.
It's one of those goals you just look at and go, well, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Like, come on. Like, and it was a sign of things to come for City in that game. Like, a goal like that goes in, you got to be a victory fan going, oh, man, this is not going to be a good night for us. And it wasn't. 7-0, 7-7.
The line has been crossed again.
Again.
Super and again, 7. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Mm-hmm.
And again and again and again.
And again and again.
I mean, I can't, it's a disappointing thing, but I'm just so happy. Because City fans held up the sixes at the start of the game. And at one point, it was correct. And then it was getting to the point where they could have turned it around. And it might have also been correct at 9. Like, ultimate shitposting. And then it coming true again. And then going one better. Like, oh. Man, Paddy Cazorla has a good team in that Melbourne City side. Like, Naboo's back now.
They're looking good. They have to win the title this year. They have to.
I mean, Sydney's the only team that's kind of held it with them, and it was a draw. They couldn't even beat them. So, if I'm a betting man, I'm looking at there's three teams that I think they can win it this year. It's Melbourne City, Adelaide United, and Sydney FC.
Oh,
and Sydney FC is, I mean, I know we've been saying it every week. Do you expect them to carry on this form into the finals? I want them to do good because, you know, friend of the show, Nick Montgomery, you know, they have a great youth system. There's a good story, but surely they can't keep this up. Like, surely.
You've got to believe, mate. You've got to believe.
I don't want to believe. Although it would be an amazing story, much like Leicester when they won the Premier League. A team dead last the season before wins the league the next season. That would be And not with money, no financial injection, just a great coach coming in and great young players that have been promoted to the starting team. It would be a hell of a story, and proof is in the pudding. Matildas get rid of Alan Stajic, they get destroyed in two friendlies. Alan Stajic, in charge of the Mariners, has them playing better than any team in the league except for Melbourne City. So,
yep. But they do have a good few young players coming through, a good academy, and I think that's a good segue into our hot topics. Yeah, I'm a hot topic. Alu Kwol signing with Bundesliga side Stuttgart.
Yep.
To play in their reserves until, obviously, they believe he's ready to play in German football.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of mixed reactions to this. I see a lot of players or a lot of fans saying, yep, go for it, absolutely. But I've also seen a lot of them say, no, he needs one more season in the A-League. My opinion is absolutely go. European football is a hell of a lot different to what we see in, watch here in the A-League. Going at the age he is to play reserve football is probably the best decision he could make.
Yep.
Because it is a massive step. And you have to remember, he's not playing in summer. He's not playing in spring. He's playing in the cold German winters.
Yes.
You're going to need to acclimatise. He needs to get, basically, game up to speed. It's a lot faster game over there in Germany.
Yep.
Get up to speed and... all the best to him. I hope he does. I hope he excels over there.
Yeah, and VfB Stuttgart, I mean, they had a down year a couple of years back where they were relegated to Bundesliga 2, but they're back in the Bundesliga now. They're playing really good. They're a really good sort of historic German side, very present in the Bundesliga. And a lot of people you see, it's like, oh yeah, they're going to sign him for the reserves, but they'll loan him back to the Mariners. I don't think that's I think playing in VfB Stuttgart's reserves is still a better level than playing in the A-League. And like you said, acclimatizing to German winters, the speed of the game, it's so much more technical over there. It's German football. It's just technical. It's tactical. It's technical. It's well-drilled, and it's going to take a while to get used to the way they play over there. And when he does get into that first team, maybe at the end of this season when spots are sort of decided, he might get some starts. No, sorry, not this season, next season. You know, he might get some starts against teams like Bayern Munich, Bayer Leverkusen, Borussia Dortmund, playing against the best players in the world. It's only going to make you better, and it's a positive step for another young Australian. I know Mustafa Amini did the same, went to Borussia Dortmund. It didn't end out well for him, but Alu Kwol's a different player. He just has it. When he's on the ball, things happen. He either assists, he scores, he sets up an attacking play. He's just a different type of player, and I think it's a great move, and very happy that he's going over there. I'd like to see if there was a transfer fee involved for the Mariners, because that would be great news. That's pretty good. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of talk that it was a free transfer, but just a 600,000 transfer, that's massive. So,
yep.
Credit to him. I look forward to seeing him hopefully one day playing for Stuttgart, or, you know, as others have done, gone elsewhere in European football. But I think it's a great move.
Yep.
Very happy.
Yeah, 100. And what's the worst that happens? He goes over there, plays 2, 3, 4 seasons over there, can't really cut it. What's the worst? He comes back.
Comes back and he's a star for an A-League team.
Correct.
He
stays there and plays in what a lot of Australians have done. They've played in Belgium, they've played in the Netherlands, yeah. They've played in Greece, they've played in Turkey. Like, there's still good competition over there.
Go join the cum dog in Scotland,
yep.
You know. Friend of the show, hopefully one day. Great move. And I when we were discussing topics, I totally forgot about that. It was just that I mentioned them, and
yeah. It
brought it in perfectly for the segue. So yeah, that was good.
Well.
But I know Nick Montgomery, friend of the show, actual friend of the show, he's very happy with the move. He thinks it's a great thing, so... That's how you know. I mean, he's a pretty good judge of character, especially when it comes to young players, and he knows what it's like to play in Europe, so he thinks it's a good move. It's got to be a good move. I'll back him. So, moving on to the next topic, you know, it's got to be the Melbourne Derby and the fallout from that. We've said it before on the show, we don't like Melbourne Victory, the club, you know, because we have rivals with them with our clubs, but Grant Brebner is a club legend. This is what people thought Kevin Muscat was going to be when he became a manager there. Unfortunately for Brebner, it's just gone absolutely terrible. The squad's not right, which isn't all on him. It's, you know, backroom staff, the higher ups that have, you know, told him who he can get. Unfortunately, they decided to part ways after that 7-0 loss. You can totally understand it. Two massive derbies, two massive losses. They didn't look competitive against Sydney. They didn't look in the game for much more than 10 minutes against Adelaide. It's time to move in another direction. We've heard Popovich linked with the job. Ufuk Talay's been linked with the job. Jamie Brown's been linked with the job. Unfortunately, they've decided
to try again.
Ufuk Talay's been linked with the job. I don't think he'll take it either. But
keep going.
Jamie Brown's been linked with the job.
You're an idiot.
I mean, he may take the job. I think it would be a good opportunity for him.
You're an idiot.
I mean, the Jets passed him over, and it hasn't really worked out well for them, so you wouldn't think the Victory would want to do the same. But I don't think Ufuk-Tale would take the job.
No,
he's not. Even if offered. He's in a better place right now.
Yep.
And I mean, he's a Sydney FC legend. You know, it's not like he's left there as a player. He was coaching there under Graham Arnold and Steve Corica. Like, he loves Sydney FC. There's no way he's taking that Victory job. Popovich obviously has looked at it and gone, I can't succeed here because of what the squad is, and I don't think he's going to take the job. So they really have no other option. But, you know, once they realise Steve Keane is terrible, I'm your man. I can guarantee that we will not lose a Melbourne derby by more than 6 goals again. Guarantee under my leadership.
What are you getting? What, just park all 11 players in the goal mouth?
Yep. Absolutely.
Let them stand there for 90 minutes.
Nil or draw is better than 6 or 7 nil loss. It will be unattractive as shit, but hey, it's worked for Jose Mourinho over the years, so why wouldn't it work for
me?
Are
you comparing yourself to Jose Mourinho?
I have been told I'm special a few times, so...
You're special?
Not been called the special one, but I've been told I'm special, so... But, like, Steve Keane, ex-Blackburn Rovers manager, who took over after he white-anted... can't remember who it was, but it was a Blackburn Rovers legend. I think it was Sam Allardyce, actually, which led them to go down from the Premier League and basically sank the club from them by putting Steve Keane in charge. He is now in charge of Melbourne Victory. I don't think I've seen anyone positive about this happening. They brought in that assistant manager for Grant Brebner.
I'm not going to try and pronounce his name.
Something, DePaul Marigny.
Yeah, that one.
Why wouldn't you have given it to him for at least the end of the season? It's 7 more games and then go hard looking for a proper manager in the off-season. They've gone with Steve Keane. I think it's a horrible decision, and you're going to see it by the way the team plays for the rest of the year. Hopefully in the off-season they bring in someone that can actually turn what is essentially the second biggest club in Australia around and make them competitive again, because, you know, a competitive Melbourne Victory means the A-League is flourishing, and the fact that they've been terrible for the last 2 or 3 seasons is not good for the game. I mean, as much as a lot of people hate Melbourne Victory, a strong Melbourne Victory is good because it creates rivalries, it creates fans at away games because you want to go and see your team beat Melbourne Victory, and you want to see good players because they usually bring in good players. But this has been a really down time for Melbourne Victory, and to see your biggest rivals win titles over the last few years and now your local rivals are probably going to win the title this year, it's got to be hard if you're a Melbourne Victory fan. And they just were allowed to have active support again.
Yeah.
What's the point?
The worst part is, like, I think we're actually talking about this. We'll get on active support soon.
Yep.
But, yeah, my brother and I were talking about it with a few of our friends as well. But people in one of the active supports we're going to talk about. We both came to the agreement that back in the day, in the good old times of the A-League, before the IBB, the North Terrace, Melbourne Victory active support, bunch of grubs, but they were the best active support in the league.
Second best.
They were the best, followed by the Cove. And then when the IBB came in...
You guys just slotted into third. Oh, no, you were really good for a couple of seasons.
The first few seasons, we were very good, and then...
You were very impressive.
Then the club started performing poorly, and then...
and treating the IBB like shit.
Correct. So it's the same with a lot of the active supports, too, that the FFA kind of stamped down on. Look, 95% of the active supports are there to support your team and there to have fun.
Yep. It's first and foremost, it's team winning.
Yeah. It's the 5% that ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. And look, you get it. That's usually what the mainstream media sort of focus on, is fan violence at football games. But, you know, it's not like rugby league or AFL, like, not guilty of it. There's so many more instances these days at rugby league games of fan violence than there is at A-League games. We seem to have a good balance. But football is about active support. Fans are the heartbeat. Matt Busby said it best, without fans, football is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So... you need that active support. It's a lift for your team when you're down. I mean, there's no more important time for active support to get behind their team than when you can see the goal or you go down 2-0. You get behind your team. You try to get them up and try to get them back into the game. To treat active support the way, you know, stadiums around Australia, particularly Amy Park, have is disgusting, especially when they allow other sports to just be as loud as they want. But you're right. North Terrace... we're up there with the Cove in the early days. They are the foundation active supports. Like, it was us and them for years. And, you know, you had the Shed, the Gate, the Den, the Marinators, the Squadron at the Jets. But all of those, aside from Perth Glory, have basically died over the years. You know, the two constants have been Sydney's Cove and Melbourne Victory's North Terrace. They're the ones that have been around. And like you said, RBB's come in. Melbourne City's got, I don't know if they're the KGB or whatever they used to be called now. The shed at Perth has come back louder than ever. They do have the advantage of the actual shed over the top of them that makes them louder. The Den's getting back into it. I think the Mariners' active support's coming back. So, you know, we're starting to see a return to the good old days. But, you know, during the downtimes, it was Melbourne Victory being good, Sydney being good, and the two active supports being the biggest in the league. And while Melbourne Victory are down, the North Terrace have tried to be there. They haven't been treated with the respect that active support should get from clubs because they are, you know, your most vocal supporters. But, you know, they deserve, as much as I hate to say it, they deserve a team to cheer for that's actually going to put a result in on the pitch. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than being active support and having a terrible team that you know every week, this we're just not going to get a result here. But, you know, whatever, let's have some fun.
That's the life of a Wanderers fan, mate.
There's nothing worse than going through your little songbook and looking at the fun ones that you do when it's a boring game and just going through them. You want to be singing the ones that you're trying to get up your team up, not singing about how drinking when we lose, drinking when we win. We just like getting drunk. But I mean, even RBB has dropped in size substantially over the last couple of seasons, which
that comes down to poor team performance, but I think the clubs as well.
Yep. The only club that's never really treated their fans with lack of respect is Sydney FC. Like, they've always been good to the Cove. I'd say Perth Glory too, but not many active supports are going away to Perth many times. So they don't have to deal with much. But, you know, Sydney derbies are the best when, you know, at one end you've got the RBB packing out that entire end. At the other end you've got the Cove packing out that entire end. And the whole game is just chance. It's just football. It's just football fans going crazy, and hopefully we see that come May 1. Now it's 100% capacity.
Yep,
I've almost got my ticket. Just trying to get that day off.
You are a dead clown. But it's poor times for Melbourne Victory ahead, and I can only hope it gets better. Because as much as you hate them because of who they are, you don't like seeing the way they are at the moment.
Yeah, so hopefully, they are in that they're part of the history. Yep. You know.
Hopefully they come back stronger. But we're just speaking about active supports. The bullpen, MacArthur Bulls, or MacArthur FC's active support.
Newly formed.
Yep, newly formed. Had a walkout. So generally clubs take, you know, two or three seasons to have a walkout. I know the RBB did it in their, like, third and fourth. Cove have done a few in late seasons. Yep. North Terrace definitely prone for a walkout. But you don't generally have a walkout 18 games into a club.
And you're playing pretty good. Like, they're in the finals. It's been a good season for them. But yeah, I don't know what minute it was they walked out of the game against Newcastle, but there was a lot of talk about it, and it was mentioned a lot around social medias. You've got a pretty good mate that's in the bullpen. We wanted to get him on, but just timing didn't work.
Schedules
don't work. Yeah. But my biggest thing was, it's good. You want to send a message to the club, but, you know, a lot of people paid for their ticket to get into that game, and then they're walking out halfway through. Club doesn't care. They got your money. I mean, I know there's a lot of members, but...
That was a part of the big reason for the walkout is how expensive it is to watch football at a suburban ground.
In Campbelltown.
Like, you want to draw crowds in, especially in Campbelltown where it's a growing population, so there's a lot of young families. Family tickets, like, $80.
85, I think it is.
Yeah.
Well, it was. It might have come down since this, but yeah, it's ridiculous to go to a football match in Campbelltown for $85.
Like when I went for the Wanderers MacArthur Derby, like, I'm a Wanderers member, so I got a discount, but it was still like $45 for me to get a ticket
with a discount.
With a 10% discount, so it was like a $50 ticket.
It's not like you're going to some state of the art stadium like Bankwest. You're going to Campbelltown Stadium, like, it's barely a stadium. Like, it's an NPL ground.
Two grandstands and two grass ends, like.
And when it's pissing down with rain, those grandstands don't do nothing.
No.
Like, it's just pointless. So to charge away fans $50 to come and watch those games at that stadium, that's disgusting. And to treat your own fans, what is it, $38 for a ticket to be in the bullpen?
I think it's like $38 to be on the hill.
That's just ridiculous. Should be $10 to sit on that hill.
Yeah.
Like, it's Campbelltown Stadium.
it's ridiculously overpriced. Their other big issue was they're an active support that's not allowed to be active.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
There is the alternate move behind the goals, like every other active support, but, you know, there could be issues behind that too where they're not allowed to. So that could be I think the hills are family zones, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You have two hills. One can be family. One can be for your home active. And the away active, you put them in the bottom right-hand corner like everybody else does. 100%. That's simple. But, you know, I support the walkout. You know, as football fans, we need to stick up for each other. I don't understand why you pay for your ticket, then walk out. You should just do a thing where, outside the ground, you just don't go into the stadium. You don't buy your ticket. You all assemble out in that car park behind Campbelltown Stadium. Watch it on an iPhone or something like that, but you see, don't go into the ground.
The thing is, that's what they did, and then they got kicked out.
Well, then you go over to the other side of the station.
They got move-along orders for standing in the car park.
Well, then you go to the other side of the station. There's a little bit of a reserve there just near... Or Campbelltown Skate Park is just there. But that's the thing. MacArthur is set up for this.
Yep.
Their stadium is, what, like a 200-meter walk from Lamia Station? So you're going to be able to get fans from all around that sort of southwest Sydney region coming to your games if you treat your fans right and you promote it right. You put the right prices on, you're going to get a hell of a lot more fans, especially on a day game, than you're going to get when you're trying to charge a family $85. You're trying to charge active support a shit ton of money. You're telling them they can't be active even though they're the active support. They're your ultras. It just seems like they don't understand what football is. They're trying to treat it like it's the West Tigers. But even the West Tigers fans don't pay that much to go watch the Tigers at Campbelltown Stadium.
No, like an adult ticket's $20.
This is why I've been saying for a long time, it should have gone to Canberra or Wollongong. They know how to run teams, especially Canberra. They have a hell of a good women's team. Give them a men's team, see what happens down there.
They'd get behind it is what they'd do.
Yep. And Canberra Stadium's a hell of a good place to travel to.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there for many sporting events, Socceroos games as well, and it's a great place to watch sport. So, but you know what? They gave it to MacArthur because Sydney needed more teams. So, and we're going to probably get another one when the Mariners get bought out by Manchester United or Phoenix Group.
They won't buy it. They won't buy it now because they've just got their tail between
their
legs.
They're going to keep their heads down, yeah.
After their embarrassment midweek, but yeah, look.
But yeah, we support your bullpen.
Yeah, we're behind you.
I think all active support should get behind you because we're all in for the same thing. We want to be able to cheer on our team in the way we do it within a reason. You know, you don't do what Italian fans do and go homophobic and shit like that. But, you know, you should be allowed to support your team in the right way. You should be able to drink with your friends watching football. That's what football is.
Although, in some cases, I understand why the club doesn't want them being active because their chants are garbage.
And the cowbells are fucking annoying.
That is the worst. Because
I'm in a bullpen fan group purely for this show. I'm in a fair few of them just to try and promote the show. Someone actually said, hey, can we quit it with the cowbells? They suck. 100% support that person, whoever you are. I forget your name. They don't actually show your name when you post anymore. So 100% behind you. Those cowbells are goddamn annoying. And I know you're the Bulls, but the Bulls aren't cows. Like, get rid of them.
I think the
get a drum.
Get a trumpet. I prefer the God, band, get a trumpet. The Central Coast and the cowbells.
And a fucking cowbell, like, God damn it.
Although, big ups, Newcastle Jets. Their promotion for this week's game was whoever the player was, stamped on a cowbell with the details for the game. That was good value. I think it made it better because the funniest thing about that is that Hand of MacArthur is what it's being called. Actually belongs to a good friend of the show.
Oh, really? Oh, is it
our local MP? Yes.
Yes, the Das.
No, the other
the
one.
The legend.
Not the Labour one that we all love and love. It's the other one.
The Muzz. Loyal friend, loyal supporter of the show. So got to shout out Riley Munro. You're a good friend, mate. You're a good man.
He's the hand of MacArthur. God, that was the funniest thing when we all found out it was his hand. So we were all behind the Ruzz as Hand of MacArthur and... Really, really disappointed to see Newcastle Jets do you dirty like that. But it's all right. You'll be back stronger, mate.
Just good to see Riley supporting the sport that he plays.
Yep.
So, about time.
Very much so.
But yeah, we support your bullpen. Maybe just do it a little bit better. Just don't go to games. That's what the RBB would do. That's what the KGB in Melbourne have done. It's what the North Terrace has done in the past. That's how you do it. Send a message by not having active support. Especially against Newcastle. They're not going to travel away. You'll have zero atmosphere there except for some stupid cowbells that everyone's kind of annoyed with. So, yeah, that's about it for the bullpen walkout.
Yeah.
We got a big blue coming up this weekend, so it's going to be interesting to see how Mr. Keane does in his first game with Melbourne Victory. Personally, I hope FC put 10 past him. But
big blue followed by a fucking Sydney derby.
It's going to be good.
Yep.
Good week followed by Southo against Wollongong in the NPL derby. God, it's going to be fun 3 weeks for me. Mm-hmm. Just got to get some days off work. But yeah, any other topics we got to discuss? Not much. I mean, Matt Ryan playing for Arsenal this week against Fulham. if you needed another reason why Arsenal should not have been an automatic consideration for this European Super League, it is. They celebrated like they'd won the FA Cup by drawing against a team that's going to get relegated. So there's that. But Matt Ryan played really well, conceded a penalty, almost got an assist for the last goal. Generally just was better than Bernd Leno, and I hope he gets more starts than he's getting at the moment. I'm assuming Mitch Langerak had another clean sheet for Nagoya Grampus.
I'm literally looking that up right now.
I figured that's what you would be doing.
Yep.
Because he's been starring, so he's definitely Australia's number one. Jackson Irvine. His Hibs team got a win this weekend in the SPFL. My Matildas were last week. That were terrible. I think that's about it.
I can't remember his name, but he's a former youth player from Sydney FC who now was signed by Wolfsburg in Bundesliga and was playing in their reserve team in the Bundesliga 3, but has just made a move to Paderborn. Couldn't tell you his name. Starts with an I, I believe.
Google it right now.
Darling?
Moving to SC Paderborn.
Yeah.
Kwame Yeboah played for them.
Kwame, did he? Since when?
Well, he's the first name. Iridale.
Iridale, yep.
Iridale.
Yep. And in sad news, Mitch Langerak did not keep a clean sheet when Nagoya Grampus went down 2-1.
Oh, man. A title contender going down 2-1.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story for Iridale, Iridale's Paderborn switch fires national team dream. So I think it's a move for him where he's going to get more game time.
Yep.
And it's a chance to step into the soccer. He's only 21, so you know, he's still a huge amount of career left. SC Paderborn, a decent German team. They're very happy about him coming over. So, and they're one of those clubs that is attack first. They don't really care about defense, which is not that usual in Germany, I think. General being good all around the pitch is pretty key to German football, but SC Paderborn is kind of a we're going to beat you 5-4 type of team. So, from what I know, watching lower league German football, Bundesliga 2 in particular. So, yeah, good move. We should put a pin in that. Just keep an eye on how he's going, if he's getting game time. Got an awesome name, but Iridale.
Mm-hmm.
That's one to remember. But I think that's it for Aussies Abroad.
Yeah,
I want to say it's a quick show, but it doesn't feel like it's been a quick show.
Nah, it's not too bad.
But yeah,
a lot quicker than your an hour and a half spiel with the chat from the back show.
We can get into it if you want.
Absolutely not.
It's kind of dead now, but
yep.
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed. Jamie messaged me midweek claiming that he's finally got a spray again, only to be shut down by the rumours that, or not even the rumours, the fact that it was a fake news story.
Yep.
So
I should have read through it, but there's no way. There's no way that would happen in football, not in Australia anyway. No. Like, we're just better people, like genetically.
I read the news article. I'm looking at him going, "That's fake."
Yeah, I know.
And Jamie was very keen to yell about it.
I was very excited about the 7-0 loss. All right, very excited. So I apologise to Melbourne Victory fans. I know there are a lot of good ones out there. I know a few of them as well. So I just don't like your club.
Very much.
Any
so.
Chance to pile on? We just don't like your club. But I don't know, I think that's it for this week, eh? Pretty good show.
Yep. No, it's good.
Some big games to talk about on next week's show, so
very much so.
Maybe shaking up the schedule of the show in the coming week, so we'll let you know what's going on there. I'll try to be a bit more active on social medias with the show. And we're still really working hard to get a W League player on too. If you know any W League players and you are listening to this show, particularly our listener in France, if you could get Ellie Carpenter to get in touch with us, that would be great. Because, yeah, we'd just love to have a W League player on. The season's wrapped up now. Just talk about how it went. I am failing on every avenue. So hopefully we might have a Mariner coming on in the next couple of weeks, but making some inroads there. So thank you, Nick Montgomery. Mad shout out for hooking us up. But, yeah, we'll see how we go.
Yes, very much so.
Other than that, I think that's us for this week. We will talk to you guys next week. And bye.
Why couldn't you get beaten up by the Melbourne Victory fans? Thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of The Circle in Rectangle Show. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. If you want to hit us up on our socials, they are The Circle in Rectangle Show on both Facebook and Instagram. Drop us an email, cinrshow@gmail.com, or hit us up on our Twitter @cinrshow. See you all next week.